Our Old Testament reading is the book of Esther, chapter 4. Esther chapter 4, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatach, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatach went forth to Mordecai into the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king and make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And Esther spake unto Hatach and gave him commandment unto Mordecai, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so the decree has been issued. Mordecai has heard it. And so we see a man in the throes of a deep, deep sorrow. He puts on sackcloth with ashes, and he goes out into the midst of the city, and he cries with a loud and bitter cry, wailing, I'm not going to say uncontrollably, but in such an unusual and loud way that the writer would tell us here, with a loud and bitter cry. So he comes before the king's gate, and there will be attendants there, and they will stop him from going any farther than that. no one gets to come into the king's courtyard with sackcloth. This tells you a little something about Ahasuerus, right? This place, this palace, this courtyard, this is a place of perpetual joy and fun. It's a place of perpetual good times. No one dressed in sackcloth comes in here. And so they stop him at the gate then. And so it comes to Esther's ears that Mordecai is at the gate, dressed in sackcloth, and wailing a bitter, bitter cry. So she calls for one of her chamberlains, a man named Hatach, who seems that they kept pretty busy for a while, sending him back and forth. He seems to be a faithful man. And so the first thing that Esther does is, let me send you some clothes so that you can come into the court and we can meet and you can talk to me about what the problem is. And so Hatach meets Mordecai at the gate with the clothes that he will need to come into the courtyard, and Mordecai says, nope, not going to put them on. This is too great a grief, too great a trial. My people are going to be destroyed. And if we would be honest about it and read a little bit of implication into the passage, Mordecai would be wont to say, and it's my fault, because I wouldn't bow before that wicked Haman. And now I've brought this on all my people. One commentator that I read was pretty strong on that point and said that that alone explains the great and bitter cry of Mordecai, that he felt guilt against his own person because he's the one that instigated this wicked movement of Haman. I don't think that's a bad point. I don't know if I can be dogmatic, but I don't think so. It's a bad point. So instead, what Mordecai does is he gives Hatach the news of Haman and the decree and sends him back with the clothes and a copy of the decree and with some instruction to Esther. You're in a position to help. So we need your help with the king to speak to him. And so Esther receives the communication from Mordecai. Interestingly, when she answers back, she says, I'm not sure that's a good idea. She doesn't seem at first to be the heroine that we might expect her to be. She says, there are some factors here you're not aware of. There's a law that everyone here in the palace knows. The king keeps himself in a particular room that's guarded, and no one can approach him. He makes himself aloof from the people. No one can come in and see him without him first calling, and if someone even appears in the same room where he is, if he doesn't immediately hold out the scepter, the hood goes over their head and out they go to the back, and nobody has ever come back from that. They're put to death now. And Mordecai, there's one more thing you need to know. My husband, the king, hasn't summoned me to be with him for 30 days. I don't know what's going on. I think I'm on the outs. I'm not the right person at the right time. So that's the message that she sends back to Mordecai. Doesn't look good, does it? Notice what Mordecai does in response. This is an amazing piece of work here. What do you think some men might have done? How can you do this to your father? How can you do this to the man that raised you? Are you kidding? I was the one that picked you up when your parents both died. I've raised you as my own daughter. I've dandled you on my own knees. None of that. No personal appeal. None of it. What does he say instead? He rests on the promises of God. This is a faithful man not a man that would condescend to carnal pleading based on personal relation. What does he say? Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews." It is as if he's turning that around a little bit on her. You haven't been there in 30 days. If you think you're on the outs, do you think you'll escape when the Jews are destroyed? That's the first point. The second point, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. You see, God is a God of means, and yet the outcomes for him will be what he has said. Now, we won't take the time because this is a reading, but if I were preaching in this passage, I would run you through a dozen or so of those promises where God promises that his people will never be destroyed. His people will never pass from the earth. That there will be indeed a people to serve the Lord until Shiloh come, is how wicked Balaam said. Promise after promise. And, I mean, what is the Abrahamic promise? That all of the kingdoms of the world will belong to the Lord and his Christ, the seed of Abraham. Well, Mordecai is resting on those promises. We have not yet seen our Messiah yet. He comes from our quarters. He is coming. The Jews will be delivered, Esther. Don't think you can save yourself by hiding out at this moment. He does not plead personal affection. He rather pleads the promises of God. And then he will make known to her, "Who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" I like that he put it as to who knows, because we don't know, but we can make decisions based on the opportunities that God has given. And God had given her the opportunity more than any other of the Jews to speak to Ahasuerus. Why wouldn't we use that? That's the word of Mordecai to Esther. All right, so that's part three of the conversation. Now we go to part four. And part four of the conversation is equally as spiritually touching as Mordecai's answer. So, what does Esther say? "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so, thusly, will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." First of all, note this. Esther does not rely upon her beauty, upon her charm, upon her royal apparel, upon her timing. The only thing having to do with timing is, "I think we need 3 days of fasting." Now, several times in the book of Esther, we'll read about fasting. We'll never hear prayer associated with it. But I want to tell you, you should make that association in your mind. They're not just going without food here. They're not just not drinking water in that regular fashion. They are indeed praying along with that fasting. I guarantee you they are. And so Esther responds in an equally spiritual way to Mordecai's pressing the promises of God. Esther does not require on her beauty, her prowess, her charm, her favoritism with the king, her past being humbled and willing to be that royal ornament that Vashti would not. She doesn't do any of that. The only thing she asks for is prayer and fasting. "And after 3 days, I will go in. And if I perish, I perish." Notice Mordecai, having raised her, knew exactly how to instruct her at this time, and she took that instruction. She realized at that point that if she doesn't go in, that enlargement will come before to the Jews from another quarter, and she will be seen as a usurper then. If she does go in, there are only two options. The first option would be that she dies. The second option is that she saves her people. But the first option was already guaranteed to her through her own inaction. And so she weighs and trusts in the Lord and asks for prayer and then takes her life in her hands for the sake of her people. We've said before, one of the commentators that I read said it this way, that the name of God is not written in the book of Esther, but the finger of God is on every page and in every verse. And so we see the great devotion of both Mordecai and Esther. And finally, then, Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him for 3 days of fasting. So we'll have to leave it there until next week. We'll pick the story up then.